This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, did you know that money isn't the main motivator for employees? How many people are willing to work 40 plus hours a week in an unhappy environment while being undervalued? Carm here with an important episode on employee benefits. What benefits set your business apart from other shops in your area? And are you reminding your team of the benefits package so they understand their value within your business? What do they want? Hey, thanks to our sponsor, Shopware and Broadleaf, for providing you this episode. You know, sure, you know your customers love you because they keep coming back. But you should probably capture that testimonial in writing with a 5-star rating prompted by Broadleaf inside the Shopware app. Learn more at GetShopware.com. Hey, are you constantly being interrupted by customer calls when trying to make repairs? Well, with Broadleaf's web chat feature, you can respond to a customer question right on your phone. Keep in touch with your customer inquiries. Get Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Jim Hayes is with us, General Manager, Pacific Motor Service. Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon. How are you, Carm?
Good to have you here, man. 3 hours behind me. I think Matt was talking about snow. You're talking about what? Balmy breezes and sunshine?
It's a cool 54 degrees and sunny out today.
Oh, they're suffering, Matt.
It's a tough one. I had to wear a pullover.
Okay, I get it. Matt Lockowitzer, Matt's Automotive Service Center, Fargo, Moorhead, North Dakota, Minnesota, and snow.
Thanks for having me, Carm. Yeah, we're getting hit pretty hard right now with snow. So
all I can say, buddy, is I'm from Buffalo, and that will be here in probably 2 days or less. So thank you for letting me know what's coming.
I got a 10-foot drift in my driveway right now, so...
Well, better you than me, at least right now. Eric Henley is with us. H-Tech Auto Care, Great Tennessee.
We are only getting rain. We're in the 50s, but we got a lot of rain right now.
Good to have you all here. And I'm really excited about putting this episode together because a lot of people, there's so much dialogue in many cases in 20 groups and networking groups say, hey, what are you doing for your people? And, you know, what are you paying here? And what are those benefits? Let me say this. I am curious about this kind of stuff that I hope we cover today. The medical side of benefits, you know, dental vision and all the other things that you could possibly have. The words PTO, and that's not power takeoff. That actually means personal time off and how it works with some of your shops. Maybe we can teach the rest of the industry what you guys are doing. There's maternity, bereavement, education and training, benefits, celebrations. Love to do that. And how do we commit that to our culture and do it successfully in our business? And also, can I put a caveat out there about the legality of everything that goes on in every state? And I think it's really important before you try to do anything, please run it by your HR legal professionals. And are we tailoring this to individual people? I mean, I've heard an awful lot about that. I'm hiring an individual and that person needs to come in at 8:15 because he's got to drop the child off at daycare. And the rules of the business is we start at 8. Well, how do we take a talented rock star person and tailor a program that brings him into the company? And then what about career development? Is that a great benefit for an individual if they know that they're hanging out and they're being there? So let's start with something very simple, Matthew, and that would be, and oh, by the way, I know you're a coach at Transformers too, right, Matt?
I am, yep.
Congrats. Are you going to be at Vision this year?
I am, yep. I'm presenting too, so...
Glad you're here. Let's just start out something very simple. Career development. Is it an opportunity and a benefit for an employee?
Absolutely it is. I think that the people that we want to hire want to see a path, not just coming to a workplace and fixing cars and doing or whatever position it might be in their company, but they need to see like, how can I grow? How can I develop? What's the next steps for me? And you know, if I'm a technician as I get older, like, can I be a trainer? Can I be something else? And really, allow those pieces to come together so they can develop.
I think our industry is flipping regarding where people want to work and the kind of people that you want to hire. And Matt, if you don't hear someone say, I really would love to get ahead, you've got multiple stores, where can I go? Is that person of interest to you?
Absolutely. I think for me, when we're in the hiring process, we want people that want to grow and continue to elevate the industry and our shops and themselves. So if I got somebody that just wants to come and fix cars, yes, there's a place for them, but I get more excited about somebody that wants to maybe take on a store of their own someday or be a manager or a training lead or something like that that can continue to develop our business as we grow.
Jim, I can always count on you for structure. Having served our great military, thanks for your service. Jim is like a by-the-books guy. If you worked for Jim, you always knew where you stood. That's just how I've gotten to know you, Jim. Let's just highlight the legal aspects of this and, you know, how it comes to sick pay and even the workman's comp issue.
Well, there are always legalities when it comes to California specifically, maybe especially. And, you know, the basic benefits as California sees it is they have to have so many days of sick. I think that's probably pretty consistent across the nation right now. They have to have so many days of sick. Work comp is an expense that every company has to undertake and manage in many cases. And then I don't know, depending on the places where you are, it may be the paternity leave type stuff. But we have to make sure our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted as far as those basic legal benefits go. And there are some shops that don't. There are many businesses out here that try to play, you know, the black market, so to speak, or live underground and don't cover their bases when it comes to that. So it's essential to us to stay healthy and viable for our client, or for our employees, rather, our team, to make sure that all the legal aspects are covered for sure.
And again, let's talk about PTO as this overarching umbrella, Eric. I know that when we talk about personal time off, and the person gets so many hours or days, is sick separate or is sick part of PTO in each of your businesses?
For us, PTO is sick or whatever. That way you don't have to give an excuse for a doctor's appointment or you want to be off that day to do something with your wife or whatever it may be. So it's just paid time off. And in Tennessee, we're pretty free. We don't have a whole lot of regulation on it's pretty much whatever you create. That's what it is. There's not a lot of governmental oversight into how we set up our PTO policies.
Jim, how did California become the overregulated state?
I'm too young to answer that, but it started a long time ago. Lawsuits, the litigiousness of the people that live here. I think there's a lot of people looking for trouble. There's the professional consumer, if you want to use that. There's also the professional employee who goes and looks for labor violations. The labor laws in California are unbelievable. There's probably a 6-inch book. So when you have a violation, which is going to happen at some point, even if you're trying to do your best, if you've got the wrong person on the team looking for trouble, they're going to go file a claim. So when it comes to PTO versus vacation versus sick, for instance, we can have the wording either way. We can have the PTO, just like Eric said, where you're sick and your vacation is bundled into one. But you have to understand when the teammate leaves the company, any vacation that's accrued has to be paid out. That's probably consistent with everywhere else. Sick does not have to be paid out when they leave. So they can accrue 3, 4, 5, 6 days of sick. Their minimum is 3 days per year. That doesn't have to be paid out. So if you bundle that with PTO, you have to pay that sick day out too when they leave. So they could accrue 80 hours or 120 hours of vacation, 15 hours of PTO or sick included in that. If you call it PTO, you have to pay that whole bundle out when they leave. Mm. If you divide them sick and vacation, you don't have to pay the sick out.
When you would hire somebody brand new, they start in March and they say, oh, by the way, Eric, we had some vacation planned in July. Will I be able to take that? Now, either your PTO will start accruing on the day they come to work, and is it, you know, how many, an 8-hour day, how many PTO hours do they earn? Do you have we're gonna fund all your PTO right up front because we so believe you, we want your life to keep existing? And there's so many different clever ways to make PTO exciting and work for your people. Could you share some of your stuff?
If the employee has work experience and has had PTO, then we will front them PTO days. So it's really up to us to decide. If we think this employee is worth it to get them to come to work for us, then we'll provide them. If they have two weeks PTO, then that's what whatever we need to do to make them feel like we stand out for them. They'll come work for us because our packages are better than everybody else's. So that way we attract great employees. Now, for an employee with no work experience, it's pretty much the old school way of you work for us for a year or within that year. So they say they started in March, and in January of the following year, we would give them 5 days PTO.
But they wouldn't get any PTO between March and January.
Correct. Yes.
Is that working in today's world and society, guys?
We do it a little bit differently in that they begin to accrue after 1 year. We had a string of people who would come and accrue. We did the same thing Eric did. Specifically, we began to accrue after 6 months. Then we'd find that the turnover was high. So after 8 or 10 months, a year and 2 months, they would leave, some people. And we would lose that time. We would basically owe them for 80 hours or whatever they'd accrued at that point. So we started betting a little bit differently, and they begin to accrue after a year. Now, they're free to take off anytime they want. If they come in to us and say, hey, I've got a vacation planned in July, they're due to start working, they can warn us up front, and they can take that time off. They're just not compensated for that until they've accrued the allotted time.
So time off without pay, in your particular case, they can go anytime that they want, go on any sick day they want, but they're not getting, because they haven't been there long enough to accrue. Matt, tell me your take on this.
Ours is based on, it starts, you know, basically day one. It's a PTO accrual system. I guess some of this issue comes into possibly the hiring process a little bit. I mean, if we're having turnover like that, I mean, it might be something to look at deeper. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. It is, you know, trying to hire people that are going to stick around and show them a path usually helps a lot too. You know, if you have an A-level tech that's coming in, been in a place 6-7 years, and they got 4 weeks of vacation, you have to make some adjustments in how you do things to get those people to come. It's just the way it is. You know, nobody's going to walk away from 4 weeks of vacation because their work life might be better. I mean, it's, so you have to find ways to uniquely go around that. And, you know, we allow people, if they don't have the PTO built up, yeah, they can go negative or they can, you know, do different things like that, take it unpaid. We only allow certain, you know, hours to go negative. Usually it's only a day or two, but there's different ways to do it. It just kind of depends on the situation. We take everyone case by case a little bit too. But I really believe, like, you know, telling them they got to wait a year to be able to take a day off paid is a long stretch for somebody to wait. And I think it kind of deters somebody from maybe wanting to join your team.
Hey, Carm here. Do you know what an invisible paycheck is? Well, keep listening to find out. Hey, we all have bad days when we just want to turn to someone and ask, how the heck do I fix this? When that happens to you on the business side, which may not be your strong suit, you want someone quick and you want them to be clear. That's exactly what Dan Groen from Detroit Garage found when he peppered the folks at Shopware with questions about how to make the most of its shop management system. As he puts it, they continually solve the curveballs we throw at them. With 7 shops, Dan jokes that he knows he's a demanding client, but that's the sign of a guy committed to his business. Even better, the Shopware support team met every challenge with, in Dan's words, impressive capabilities and vigor. No complaints, no hassles, just a commitment to help Dan through his day. As Dan says, we make each other stronger. Now that's a partnership that works. It's time. Get Shopware.com. You know auto shops with tons of 5-star reviews, and that doesn't happen overnight. There's actually a strategy to getting all of those positive reviews. Now, Broadly knows how to do it because they are the experts at improving your web presence and increasing your number of 5-star Google reviews. There's an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. Now, do you know when? Well, Broadly knows the best time to ask for a review is immediately after service. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied your customer's need for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Now, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of 5-star reviews on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Guys, there are no secrets in your company. I mean, you know that. You would hire somebody brand new within 2 weeks. Everybody knows pretty much what the deal is, right, Matt? If you're making that accommodation, what does the person who's been there 3 or 4 years think about what you just did?
You have to be careful with how you do that, obviously. I mean, I think what we try to do is we don't try to give that person 4 weeks of vacation. We try to manipulate the salary or the pay to offset that time to some capacity. So they still go into our guidelines, or we do something where, yep, their pay is this much and we give them extra time, but it's reflective in the pay. So they're basically in essence buying the vacation time and their pay to an extent. If they're hell bent on having 3 weeks time off or whatever, like we negotiate that into their actual pay rate. So, I mean, in essence, they're buying it on that particular instance, but every case is different, you know, and I think that's something that you gotta look at, you know, what your state allows, what you can and can't do as well, and take each person as they approach it.
I think what you're saying is be creative.
That's the easiest way to say it, yes. And with today's market, you have to.
I can't see how you can have a strict guideline knowing how long it takes to find a unicorn, as they say, you know, someone incredibly special that you know fits and works, and you're negotiating down the list of things in your benefit program. I mean, yeah, your pay is your pay, but then it gets into the benefits. Guys, how heavy does the benefit side weigh to the salary, the hourly rate? Are they equal?
I think it depends on the individual. If you're honest, I think everybody weighs different things. If you get a single guy that's 21 years old, the benefits package is going to have way less impact than a 30-year-old guy who's got a child or two. So it depends. You know, we like to say, we actually put it this way in some of our interview process, your paycheck is going to be the least valuable thing you get out of working at Pacific Motor Service. And it comes from the benefit packages. And it's not always the vacation. In fact, the vacation is not even a big part of what we offer. It's the rest of the picture. It's the culture. It's the environment. It's the growth opportunities. Like Matt said, if you don't find someone who's interested in the growth aspects, then they're probably not a good person for the team anyway. So I think it's depends on the situation of the individual, but it's typically a smaller part of the entire package for us as a whole.
The culture, the things we offer them, it's the whole package that gets them to come to us and gets quality people to work for us.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the benefits are actually, these type of benefits are the smallest part of the compensation package. They get talked about the least. I think a lot of it's because they've become really standardized. I mean, they can almost go anywhere and get health insurance and dental insurance and this, that. I don't see a lot of issues coming through from vacation or basic benefits that are offered.
So there's an awful lot of shop owners out there that realize that if they're going to keep the core that they have and grow their business, they need to improve their employee benefits. And then you start thinking about life insurance, vision insurance, dental insurance, 401k, matches, paid holidays. And they go there and they say, I'm just going to go to work for somebody. I'm going to take my toolbox and go to work for somebody. This is too heavy of a load. Let's convince the industry that they've got to be thinking like this.
As far as offering the benefits?
Yeah, finding the opportunity. What's the profitability, the labor rate? You know, what do I have to do to survive? You got to have people to rock your boat. And if you don't have the people and they're not there for, if you will, certain right reasons, and that would be an extensive benefit package. And again, group life insurance doesn't cost that much. I mean, people sometimes don't even know what they're up against, and a lot of this stuff is affordable. And I think of, as I mentioned, the 401k, Jim, how important that would be, maybe not to a 21-year-old, but to a 30-year-old who's got a family now and says, wow, what am I going to do? How am I going to save 529 plans?
These are items, these line items that you've mentioned, and like Matt said, in many cases, they're commoditized. They can go to the dealership or next door or work for the local resort and get a lot of these benefits. I think it's how we market the package and how we describe it to our team every day, every week, every year, the benefits they're getting. Because a young guy that's got all these benefits may or may not see the value. One of the topics, actually, every February, this February, is our financial month for our leadership group. So I select a financial book for them to read, and we really focus on 401k. So when you're talking to our 19, 20, 21-year-old guys, health insurance isn't as big of a deal to them, hopefully, at this point. And life insurance certainly is, although we provide it. And we split the premium with health insurance. It's not that expensive. Health, life, dental, vision are very inexpensive to provide completely. But we really spend a lot of time focused on 401k and the benefit of the match. Our company matches dollar for dollar up to 4%, which is pretty substantial. What we've found is that the younger guys, well, even the older guys, don't really understand how the 401k works, the whole magic of compound interest. They tend to have credit card debt. They understand compound interest from that perspective. They don't so much when you throw a couple $1,000s a year into the 401k or invested into the market.
In 2035, you know, at $80 a month, I'll have this thing paid for, and at 24% interest. And if you would only add up that interest over those next 15 years, whatever it takes to get rid of that debt. Imagine putting it into a 401k. It's the same concept, just a little bit in reverse.
Exactly. So one of the benefits, for instance, if you want to package it like a benefit, is really the time that we invest in our people to help them understand the big picture, so that if they're making X dollars an hour, they can figure out how to make that into X plus. Let's say their base salary is $30 an hour. They can figure out how to invest the appropriate amount in the right direction so that $30 feels like $40. We talk to them about investing or paying off credit card debt so they're not paying other people's retirement, for instance. So that's also a benefit package, the time that we spend with our team, so that they can understand how that all that works together, and they understand the expense of the company too. So that they know when we're buying and paying for benefits and spending time, that they understand maybe they're working for $60,000 or $70,000 a year, including benefits, they're a six-figure salary, or at least the expense of the company is six figures plus. So they can start to see and understand how the business works. There's no, I know that there's some people that go into a business and see the bottom line revenue or the top line revenue and think that the owner's walking away with $1 million or $2 million. They don't understand the entire expense structure. So that also goes to the benefit. The education in that process is a benefit, in my opinion.
Hey, guys, I love where this is going. We're really kind of, if you will, opening up the crevice here about benefits, and I think this will be great for the industry. Jim, you just said it. You know, maybe pay them $60,000, or $70,000, but it's costing you $100,000. And there's that thing called the invisible paycheck. Eric, have you ever actually set that up for someone and showed them?
I'm not sure if I follow that, so expound on that.
Jim, go ahead, because you're the guy who knows.
Well, I think what you're referring to is their benefits package and what their basically their dollar value is to themselves when they're working here. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you pay them X amount, you've got a FICA match, you have the cost of your health care, you have the contribution to 401k, and when you put it all in the package, you can say, you know, I don't know, you got a take home. But we have all these other costs as a business. I mean, the comp costs and everything to cover them if there's disability by your state. And it was something that years ago I did in my business. It created the invisible paycheck. I just wanted people to know what it really was costing me to have their incredible talent working for me.
Well, what I've found is a lot of people don't really know what they make, not even counting the invisible paycheck. They don't really understand their compensation as a whole. They see their W-2. They don't really look at it. They file their taxes. Or if it's mid-year when they're getting, if you're having a meeting with them, they don't really understand what they've made and what they're standing to make. So we every year build that spreadsheet just like you're explaining so that they can see that they've got their base salary, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, whatever that might be, plus the expenses of their benefits, which could also be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So when they see that, they start to, it actually adds value to them from what I've found, because now they understand that they are worth $120,000 to the company. It's not just the take home that they see, the net. Well, we live in California, so a $70,000 paycheck becomes $40,000 pretty quick. They see $40,000, they think they're making $3,000 a month, but when in actuality they see the company, their value to the company is $120,000. That really helps them understand what we're doing as a big picture and helps them understand their value and what it really means.
Excellent. Matt, do you do anything like that?
Yeah, we do. We kind of show them what the, you know, what do you call it, loaded cost or a visible paycheck. We kind of show them what the whole picture looks like. You said it right, Jim, the value to the company. It could be six figures, but they're only making 70. You know, and how to show them like all these pieces that we add in value go into that stuff. And it's there's a lot that goes into that. And the more of that they understand, they start to understand the business side, but they also show like, okay, like, you know, this is actually what I'm actually making, and this doesn't show up in my paycheck.
It seems to me that the more financial information you share with your people, the more they understand what a profit and loss statement looks like, the more they understand, Jim, the guy's not taking home the $1.2 million that the business is doing. And there's all this other stuff. Why is margin important? Why are cost containment important? And if we weren't making a profit, we couldn't be affording these employee benefits, so we have to work hard together. I'm not sure where the incentive plans are that drives that success, but that's it's another key ingredient. And not being able to have the profits to afford the employee benefits that are becoming critical in a hiring decision. Eric, can you take us back to the latest hiring decision that you made, and were the benefits that you offered a key component to get the person hired?
Yeah, for sure. The last guy was a dealership guy, and he had health, he had 401k, he had training, you know, he had all that. He had PTO that he hadn't taken. So when I gave him the package, he was like, "Well, that's better than what I've got here." He came to work for us because of that. So it wasn't just the money.
He said training, guys. I interviewed Brian Gossel the other day, 5-store operation. He says they spend $200,000 on training. And that would be the flights and the hotels and the cost and all the coaches. Everything was rolled into a number, $200,000 for his operation. He wasn't bashful to share that. Matt, training. I mean, you're out there training. You probably love to see a room with, you know, 200 or 300 people in it and feel so good about the investment that shop owners are making.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I know Brian real well. We probably spend a little bit more than that even with our 6 stores that we have. And, you know, it's a big investment. And even with me coaching and all the other stuff, we have to develop the people past what I do. And I'm not involved in the day-to-day. So, you know, I need to be able to coach the people that are running my company. And sometimes it's not just me. I have to have other coaches and other people that help that. So attending the conferences and vision, that's great, but they have to have coaches as well. So there's a big investment in that, but it's a huge return when these people grow and they start to really develop others below them. And that's where the reward and the return on that training investment comes back. But it's a huge asset when you're trying to hire somebody too, and you can show them this is the path. These are the things that you'll have available to you. Like, people get excited about that. And I think that's what really kind of gets people excited to come work for you. You know, very rarely is it the money or the benefits, honestly. Those are the last two factors that you have to put together. It's the whole other pieces that why they should come work for you that really pull it together.
This episode, I think, will come out after we've been to Vision. And so we're at Vision. Hey, did you pay to come here? No, I drove and I paid for all the classes. And then you see some other technician or shop owner just walk away shaking their head, wondering why hasn't ownership stepped to the plate and realized the benefit? It's like paying for an ASE. Guys, help me understand. Talk to the industry and tell them, please, this has to change. It's an employee benefit to have a commitment to training.
It is. Training's huge. Without training, no one gets trained. It's really hard to grow without training because it's tough to get people that are such self-starters. They're so autodidactic. They'll dig in and spend the time. You know, they have to have a perceived value of the effort that they're putting in. And when the shop owner either spends the time to do the training or spends their resources to get the training done, I think it shows intent, helps them understand. Again, it comes down to value. And the importance of learning and growing. You know, it's a place. If you're going to have a successful business, it can't be a place where people get bored and people stop growing. That's for sure. So as a package, that's probably the biggest benefit we offer as well.
Matthew, you have a high culture company. I know you 100% agree with that. What are you doing also to bring the teams together and sponsor events and bringing, I mean, do you bring families together, Matt, at all?
Yeah, we have several company outings every year. We own a school bus, and we actually take field trips as a team. We do a lot of team building activities that allow people to stretch outside their comfort zones, and they have intent behind them. So we'll do, like, we did a character challenge course where people are 30 feet in the air climbing between trees, but they had to work together and communicate. There's an intent behind all the things that we do, but they come back and then they have to say, what did I take from this? How did I do this? And to Jim's point too, I mean, all these pieces, like the training, like these people want to feel valued. And there's no better way to show value is to train them and to do team outings and company events and all these things. Perceive value to the people, and that's how you get people to run through walls for you. That's how you create a culture.
We did a company outing, team building event to a local gun range in Western North Carolina. We spent the day there. We do things like that. We take them axe throwing. If the service advisors have a great month, we'll take the team of service advisors out for an evening with food and drinks and whatever. Just things to pull everybody together to build that teamwork. That hey, we're not just about work here. We're a family.
Do you celebrate certifications, guys?
Yes.
Absolutely. We do the non-traditional benefits package, I guess you could call them, would be the incentives for instance, ASC master certifications. So we do that. We celebrate birthdays, anniversaries. We give bonuses for benchmarks of anniversaries. And we've got a pretty sizable incentive for the ASC once they achieve master technician. So those are all benefits. You know, that can, after you've added 15 or 20 things to the pile, they really start to feel like they want to go to work. They feel like they want to be a part of that team, you know?
You're so right. You know, on our Tuesday show, Aftermarket Weekly, where we actually do the shop tour, Matt, I know you've been on. Jim, have you ever done a shop tour for us?
I don't think so, no. Kevin may have.
Yeah, maybe Kevin has. Eric, you did, right?
Yes, we did.
And so, guys, what we see is there's the barbecue thing and the lunchroom with the refrigerator that's packed with, you know, some guys provide daily lunch so nobody has to leave. And it's a money saver for them. It's kind of like buying tools and equipment and saves them off the truck and it saves them for lunch money. That's a damn benefit, guys. However you look at it, if you're a foodie and you provide food, even if it's Friday barbecue, it's a culture piece. I get that, but it's also a benefit.
Sure, they enjoy that. I didn't even remember the fact that we buy the new guys that we hire on that are brand new technicians straight out of school. We tend to supply them with their first tool set too. So that's a benefit I didn't even think of, but that goes a long way. You know, you spend $600 or $700 on basic tools that they don't have, and it's like Christmas for a year.
So. Yeah, or along the same lines as pay a monthly amount to the tool truck for them to buy tools. So that's one thing we do. We've got a tab for the Snap-on truck for each tech. And so it's $100 a month, and they can buy whatever. It's their tools. So just another retention idea.
It's $1,200 a year. That's part of the rent or the mortgage payment that they don't have to pay. Do they only spend your money, or do they spend a little of theirs too, Eric?
Oh, theirs as well. Yeah, they're on the tool truck a lot.
I think one of our benefits is we don't allow them on the tool truck.
And they don't realize what a benefit that is.
That's right.
That's good.
That saves them $1,200 a year.
And to hit on Jim's point too, you know, celebrating the birthdays and anniversaries is great, but you can take it to another level and involve the families. So celebrate their wedding anniversaries, their kids and wives' birthdays. Like, you want to talk about building the culture that is, it's not so much a benefit, but you take that and then you send the wife an anniversary card with a massage in there or something like that. Like, now you've gotten the whole family to buy in. And that's something that part of our onboarding process, we get all the anniversaries, the pets' birthdays, like everything. And we send stuff for the pets even. And you want to talk about getting a family to buy in. Now you're really creating something special.
A handwritten card to the spouse of how much you appreciate their support.
Yep.
And a gift card to a spa or whatever it is, you know. It needs to be handwritten too. That really makes an impact.
Hey guys, this was great. I want to go around the room. I want to offer you an opportunity that any talking point that you had that you'd love to bring up or, you know, make a closing remark. But first, bereavement and maternity, Eric, how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, so that's something new we implemented this year with seeing a lot of folks pass, and some of our long-term employees had a mother with Alzheimer's passed away. So I saw the need for that. And for that to not involve their paid time off, not to get into their days for their, you know, other things. So we created three bereavement days within our benefit package. And then we've got a lot of younger employees now who are having kids and families. And now the dads like to be off and be home for a couple of days. So we also added in a package for that, for 3 days off to be home for when their child is at home now, to get used to having the baby home and help the mom care for the new child.
Family Medical Leave Act, guys, you guys have to conform to that. I think that's a national program, right? And didn't they just add recently that the dad could take that time too?
I think it's up to 12 weeks or 16 weeks or something like that.
You have to pay into that because I think they get paid from the government, right?
I think they go on disability, if I'm correct.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think you're
something right. Like that, yeah.
But at the end of the year, when you do some final numbers, calculations for the insurance company or the government, I think that's when you pay.
We call that contribution in California.
It's a contribution. Yes, it sounds incredibly smart. Well, look at guys, I think what we did is we served up an awful lot of great ideas, let people look at you guys as peer shops and say, listen, if Eric, Jim, and Matt can do this, I need to. And obviously, there's a lot of research that needs to be done. Please don't do this alone. If you're not in a networking group or a 20 group, just call me. Let me know. I'll hook you up with some people to help guide you through this. Don't think that you've got to do all the research by yourself. Let's go around the room. I'll do Eric, Jim, and then Matt. Eric, any final things we didn't cover?
I would just say, just be creative in how you put it together to attract the best employees you want, and the right employee for that matter, that fits your culture, fits your team.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you being here. Eric Henley, H-Tech Auto Care, Gray, Tennessee. Jim Hayes.
I think it goes down to adding value. We try to add value to our clients. We try to add value to each other. I think a good solid benefits package explained and described properly adds value to the team. As long as they feel valued, they're going to work their tails off. And adding value is really the name of the game when it comes down to it. So that's my big V, the value word.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Jim Hayes, General Manager, Pacific Motor Service. Good to have you here out in California. Matt.
I agree with both what they said. I think, you know, the value proposition and really building a culture that is a great tool for the hiring process and building a benefit. Your culture is a huge benefit. And show them how your culture can benefit not only their work life, but their personal lives. And then putting all your benefits that go with that on top of it.
Your culture is an employee benefit, and you're spending money on it. In you know, besides the celebrations and everything else that comes inside the package, be it medical and dental and sick pay and vacations and bereavement and maternity, and these are what I firmly believe you need to have to be competitive in today's work environment, because we can lose technicians to the HVAC companies and to welding and to diesel, and they're doing the same thing we're doing here. They're thinking about what's the benefit package besides the pay package that will attract and retain people with, if you will, golden handcuffs to make them realize that this is the place to be. Matt Lockowitzer, Matt's Automotive Service Center, Fargo, Moorhead, North Dakota, Minnesota, coach for Transformers, and I'll have seen you at Vision when this episode finally does release. So congrats. Is that your first training session, Matt, ever or not? You've been doing a lot of that.
No, it's not my first division, but not my first one out in the industry. So
first division. Thanks, guys. Hey, I appreciate you all being here. Employee benefits, what are important today? Be good, guys.
Thanks. See you next time here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.